just got to my attention in the last like hour or two on 6080.
Okay.
I think it would be.
I'm not the chair.
Okay.
Hi, Shannon. This is Kelsey. Are you able to hear me?
Hi, Kelsey. I hear you through the phone and through my headphones, so we have progress.
All right, perfect. I'm going to take you off the record then, because our sound was doing pretty good last meeting. So,
do you mind sharing that?
If that's okay with you.
Because I know we
move this
one a lot.
I'm going to go ahead and just check this microphone with you, and we'll get started in just a few minutes.
Perfect.
Okay, thanks.
I won't make my amendment then.
Good morning. I'd like to call this meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. The time is 11:07 a.m. on Thursday, March 4th. Members present at this time, Speaker Stutes, Representative Story, Representative Vance, Representative McCabe, Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Ortiz, and myself, Representative Tarr. Just as a matter of housekeeping, a couple quick announcements. If members would please silence your cell phones. We do have folks just joining remotely rather than having staff in the room, but our committee aide, Thatcher Brower, is available to help with passing a note. If your aide needs to get something to him, they're welcome to try and communicate and he can get the note to you. We'll do our best on that. We want to thank Shannon McCain, our committee secretary, and Kelsey Riker from the Juno LIO for our tech and teleconferencing support. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Another reminder is just that our recording secretaries are operating remotely, so we'd ask if folks could identify themselves before they speak, just to help them with taking the minutes, and thank them so much for their help. Also, you may notice a new person sitting in the chair here, so I just wanted to extend my gratitude to Speaker Stutes for allowing me and placing trust in me to chair this committee. I've been a member of the committee for the last 4 years, so I have hopefully learned a few things along the way and am looking to all of you to help me as we work through the next couple of years, because you have really knowledgeable people on this committee and these issues are really important to all of your districts. So I look forward to working with everyone and doing the best we can. I am so lucky, as all of you are, to have Thatcher Brower working as our committee aide. Thatcher is awesome person and really organized committee aide, so I know everybody will enjoy working with him, and both of us are available at any time for questions and to help things run smoothly. So today we have two items on the agenda: House Bill 80, the Sport Fish Hatchery Facility Account. This is a bill by the governor. We've heard this and we've heard public testimony. Today we have a couple of amendments to consider. It sounds like a new issue has been brought to our attention, so we'll likely take some action but then hold this bill to the next meeting for continued action. And then today will be the first hearing of Representative Story's House Bill 115, Aquatic Farming and Hatchery Site Leases. We'll do the introduction, invited testimony, and public testimony on that. We'll be setting it aside for further review and amendments on Tuesday. Any comments or questions before we get started on House Bill 80? Representative Chris Hopkins.
Welcome, Madam Chair.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
New, but
welcome, Madam Chair. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Okay, well, with that, then, we will go ahead and get started with House Bill 80. And, Commissioner, if you wouldn't mind joining us to see if we have any questions before we do the amendments, and then we may have questions with the amendments that you could help out with. So any members have any questions for Commissioner Vincent Lang before we do the amendments? Representative Chris Tompkins.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Two parts of the bill that I had questions about, and the first is, and this is just a personal curiosity that just came to light, but in Section 2, this is the fishing license reciprocity between Yukon and Alaska, and basically Alaska has given all Yukoners the ability to get resident rates on our fishing licenses, and in return we get the same there. And I'll just add a little bit of commentary. I think they're getting a much sweeter deal because we've got salt water, and that's what a lot of them want, is to get to our salt water, and most of what the Yukon has, Alaska has. So just with that preparatory commentary, I was wondering, are you familiar with the data of that license reciprocity in terms of how many Yukoners get the discounted Alaska fishing license rate, and how many Alaskans in turn go to the Yukon and take advantage of what they're offering?
Through the chair, I do not. One of the few questions I really don't have a good answer to. I know that has been discussed off and on through the years that I've been involved with fish and game between the premier of Yukon and the governor of Alaska. And it's been visited, I don't think it's been visited by this governor, but it's been visited as recently as the Walker administration, and they decided to keep that up as a good neighbor policy. We could get you the numbers. I just don't know what they are. I agree with you. I think that they would like to have access to saltwater fishing, which they don't have. And I think there's probably much lower rates of Alaskans going into the Yukon to go fishing and hunting. But
follow up, mm-hmm. If I may. Thank you. I totally get the good neighbor policy, especially growing up in Southeast, and we have to go into the Yukon to get to the rest of Alaska and all of that. And I'm just if it be possible to get numbers, including the foregone revenue the state gives up, and just being able to balance the good neighborly desires with just how much cash we're effectively forfeiting, so maybe the legislature can evaluate that cost benefit. I think that would be helpful.
We'll try to put that together for you.
Perfect. Any other questions for the commission?
Thank you,
Representative
Madam Chair. I find it interesting that this good neighbor section is in there right now. When I don't see it in the same bill that was offered last year. In light of the lack of reciprocity from our neighbors in this goodwill to Alaska, in other areas that are affecting our communities, and was wondering why the need to put forth this goodwill at this moment. It doesn't seem like we are in the stronger negotiating place by including it in this bill at this time, when it doesn't seem to be that it was a priority in last year's bill.
Through the chair, I'm struggling with this one a little bit. I see that the only change in that language is adding the words "and L." So I think it makes it clear that residents of the Yukon that buy a residence sport fishing license have to pay the resident sport fishing license fee. I think if I'm trying to remember back, there might have been some unclarity as to whether or not they were having to pay the surcharge. This makes it clear that they would have to pay the resident surcharge rate.
Follow up.
Mm-hmm. Is there a strong need to, in other areas of treaties, of negotiations, of compromise, that would precipitate a need to give them a non-resident discount?
Through the chair, that's a policy call, I think, that's made between at the governor's level as to whether or not they want to have a good neighbor policy with that government. We can tell you the economic impact of what that would be, but again, from my chair, this is more of a call as to how you want to be a neighbor with you. There's no treaty obligation for it or anything else.
Thank you.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, I don't specifically have an amendment in mind here necessarily, but if I were to offer an amendment on line 9, section 1, to change the word operation of the Department of Sports Fish Hatchery and sports fishing stock, take out, if I were to take out sports or take out fishing stock and replace it with fish, the word fish, would that cause you concern, or would that, in your mind, change the intent of the bill in any way?
So, through the chair, I think there's some confusion over what a sport fish hatchery does. A sport fish hatchery, you know, in Fairbanks, produces fish for lakes primarily. In South Central Alaska, the Jack Hernandez hatchery deals with not only lake stocking, which was a large portion of the production, but it also produces saltwater production. You know, it takes fish and puts them in the Nilchik, puts them in a variety of things. So there's both saltwater and freshwater releases. And then, of course, what we're doing with the money in Southeast Alaska is a combination of their at DIPAC, the Rainbow Trout programs that go into Twin Lakes here and a variety of other lakes, and also the saltwater releases we have. So I would have to see the exact language, but I don't think that, from my perspective, adding the word stock is going to matter one way or the other. We're going to continue to provide both fresh and saltwater releases. And the intent of this money is to basically, again, maintain those hatcheries so we're not having to dip down into our existing allocation of fish and game funds to do the maintenance of them. And at the end of the day, to continue our operations of stocking fish, including in South, the maintenance of the two state-owned hatcheries, and including the ones that we continue to own that are run by the PNPs as sport fish enhancement activities.
So maybe, perhaps, you misunderstood, and I didn't say it very well.
Okay.
So my idea, not my idea, but a constituent's idea, would be to replace the term sports fishing. To replace the term fishing stock, that term, just with, so get rid of fishing stock and just put fish enhancement, so sport fish enhancement.
I would have no problem with that.
All right.
Representative McCabe.
So thank you, Madam Chair. So just to explore this section 2 a little bit more, it says if the commissioner determines that residents of the state are entitled to obtain licenses for sport fishing in Yukon Territory. Currently, we can't even drive there, right?
Yeah.
So I would guess that your determination right now would be that the answer is going to be zero. There's zero licenses allowed from Yukon Territory because they don't allow us into the Yukon to fish there. So it just seems to me I don't know if we need to deal with this at all, because the commissioner should be dealing with it at his level, right? Does that square with what you understand?
Yeah, I think this is one of these things where I would want to have a talk with the governor's office, because it vested with me, but clearly this is, again, is a policy guidance in how the state wants to deal with our neighbor. And likely a decision I make on this one would have potential implications on a wide variety of other issues. So
So follow up. Are we talking tens of thousands, or 1,000, or 500? Do you have a ballpark figure? How many Canadians?
I'm guessing it is not in the tens of thousands. There's not that many people in the Yukon. I'm guessing it's in the hundreds.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions before we go to the amendments? Okay. Then go ahead, and you might want to stay there, Commissioner, because I think there could be some questions with the amendments. But let's go ahead. We have two amendments. What we're going to do as amendment number one is 32-GH1609/A.4 by Representative Ortiz. Representative Ortiz.
Madam Chair, I had a conversation with the Commissioner prior to this particular meeting, and I think there's some things that we could benefit if we had a little bit more time to work out the specifics of this particular amendment. And so I intend to offer this amendment, perhaps in a changed version, at the next meeting, if that's okay.
Sure. And we'll go ahead and do that and allow for the redraft, since you had that in turned it in time for the amendment deadline. So we will hold on that one. And then we will go to amendment number two, which is 32-GH1609/A.5 by Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment two.
I'll object for discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment two meets the department's proposal halfway. Instead of reinstating the surcharge with a reduction of $5, this amendment proposes a reduction of only $2.50. This amount is what the committee passed last year, and it remained in the bill until it died in its final committee of referral in the other body. I believe this amendment reflects a delicate balance of reducing the surcharge, as the bonding has been paid for the Ruth Burnett and the William Jack Hernandez hatcheries, while still retaining the necessary revenue for enhancement projects. The addition of the $2.50 back into this bill will raise over $1 million in additional revenue that is badly needed to support the activities of sports anglers. I would note that the deletion of the special non-resident military small game and sport fishing license on page 2, lines 10 and 11 of the amendment is a housekeeping measure at the request of the department. They no longer offer this license and request that it be removed from the bill. I would also remind members that the public, that 82% of the surcharge revenue is derived from non-residents. And with that, Madam Chair, I ask the members to support this amendment.
Thank you, Speaker Stutes. Any comments or questions? Representative McCabe.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. So I'm frankly kind of interested in this, provided that Amendment 1 doesn't go through, because I don't like the languages on 2 and 3. I guess we're going to, lines 2 and 3 of that amendment, I guess we're going to change that, or you're going to change it, because I think this is an attempt, sort of blatant attempt, to push a bunch of money to a southeast hatchery that maybe it doesn't need. And I think that the two larger hatcheries and that serve the larger populations, that should be up to the Department of Fish and Game. So I'm very interested in supporting your amendment, but a lot of it depends on how this amendment comes out. So maybe it's a good idea to table this for now. I'm
Could
not
we
sure.
Take an at ease.
Sure, we can take a brief at ease. Excellent. We are back on the record here at 11:29 a.m. And just some discussion and clarification. We are still looking at amendment number 2, which seeks to split the difference on the reduction in the surcharge. And there was some comments by Representative McCabe, just sort of concern. And so that's what we took the at ease, where some discussions were had. I don't know if anybody has any questions that they want to come back to now that we're back on the record. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not necessarily a question, just a comment. I guess it's a question for the commissioner. So because of the fact that 82% of the revenues that come in from this particular assessment is out of state, and it's certainly been my the anecdotal comments that have come my way from charter fishermen, from lodge folks, they tell me people who come all the way up here to fish in Alaska and to benefit from the resources that are here, they're not going to be concerned whether the reduction is $2.50 or $5. So why would we not just keep the original $5 assessment there when the impact is going to be felt by people who will have no hesitation whatsoever about continuing to pay the $5 rather than just the $2.50?
Through the chair, so I was part of the original deal in having the surcharge to pay off these bonds, and I feel we made a commitment that when the bonds were paid off that we would reduce the surcharge. The surcharge would go away, actually. Now I'm in a different chair, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to maintain these hatcheries and maintain them with following through in that commitment that if we want to build something in the future, that we institute a surcharge, that we're not instituting a surcharge forever. So it's a sweet spot. I think you're probably right. There's some most non-residents would continue to pay the existing surcharge, but at the end of the day, we are somewhat bound. We can't have a full surcharge on non-residents and a partial surcharge on residents because of the Carlson case. So we tried to find where that line is in the sand. And with respect to Representative Stutz's, we certainly appreciate, Representative Stutz, what you're trying to do. We understand it. We do it. There's a governor's bill. I'll have to go back and talk to the governor's office about it since the bill came out of his office. But believe me, we certainly appreciate that you understand the need to do maintenance of hatcheries. You understand the need to support enhancement across the state. And certainly, I'm a little worried that as the language becomes more and more constraining, it impacts my ability on an annual basis to meet the highest need in a certain area of the state, because I don't want to get into having $7 million in a fund and saying that if we got 5.5, that needs to go into hatchery product raceway in Crystal Lake in a single year, I can only fund $2.5 million because I've got to put money in other areas. So I understand the desire to have some proportional spending as to where these revenues are collected, and I think we can work on language on that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a different amendment. But in any case, that's all. And I'm not going to look to change this particular amendment. It's just as we're working on this right now, and in particularly in the light, Madam Chair, of the fact that the department has seen over the years at least a 30% reduction in UGF, and yet they're tasked to do the same constitutional mandate, which is to manage our resources to the maximum sustainable yield. Frankly, I think their ability to do that has been hindered by that 30% reduction. And so we're looking at an opportunity here to maybe at least maintain some resources, and if the amendment passes, to increase $2.50, what originally was going to go entirely away. So I'm thinking, because of the fact that 82% of the people who pay this come from out of state and are certainly not going to be in any way hesitant to pay $5 versus $2.50. And in this time of resources, why not take the opportunity? So I'm just saying, go ahead.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Appreciate those comments. Representative McCabe.
Oh, that's okay.
Speaker Suess, was first possibly?
No.
No, okay. Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Commissioner, I'm interested to know, last year's bill had a bunch of other stuff that this surcharge was supposed to help cover, and all of that is gone, and the surcharge is decreased now. So I'm curious why the difference between the bill that didn't make it through last year that had the extra $2.50. Is it just because you took all of the other pieces of that bill out of there and focused it more tightly on just the hatcheries?
Through the chair, I think this is the same bill that was introduced last year. It just got different things added in through the legislative process. So I think we started at the same point we started last year, and now it's the process of going through it again.
Speaker Suess.
Thank you. Representative McCabe, I just texted my office. You know, my mind, sometimes I feel like it's a sieve.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. We specifically left that out, trying to untie the department's hands a little bit. And we only went in response to Representative Ortiz. We tried to allow the commissioner to have a little credibility by not leaving the full $5 difference in there and splitting it with him, $2.50, so that way he gets a little credit for reducing the surcharge, and the state gets the benefit of having a little additional funds for this. But the reason that same verbiage isn't there was to allow a little more maneuverability for the department.
Any other comments on this amendment? I'll just comment that one thing I thought about it relative to Representative Ortiz's question is something, you know, leaving it in place and maybe another sunset idea. But I didn't have time to sort of work that idea with you, Commissioner Vincent Lang, so that's why you don't see that. But perhaps in the next committee of referral, since it's the Finance Committee, there'll be some more thinking on that point. So I'll remove my objection to this amendment. Is there any other objection to adoption of Amendment Number 2? Okay, seeing no further objection, Amendment Number 2 is adopted. And we'll go ahead and set this bill aside now to bring back up on Tuesday with the reworked Amendment Number 1 from Representative Ortiz. And we'll just take a brief at ease to allow Representative Story and her staff to get ready, and then we will move into House Bill 115. Brief at ease. We are back on the record. It is 11:38, and we are going to start with House Bill 115. We have the bill sponsor, Representative Story, and our staff, Craig Smith, with us. And then we do have your invited testifiers online. So welcome.
Thank you. For the record, Rep. Story, and alongside me is Greg Smith, who works with me. And thank you, Chair Tarr and members of the House Fisheries Committee, for hearing this bill today. House Bill 115 simplifies the Department of Natural Resources, DNR's, lease renewal process for aquatic farms, directly supporting Alaska aquaculture businesses. Aquatic farm products include oysters, kelp, and other shellfish, and this is an industry with substantial promise. In fact, the Alaska Mariculture Task Force set a goal of making this industry a $100 million industry in the next 20 years. With Alaska's clean waters and immense coastline, we have huge potential for responsible development for this industry. I was pleased at how far this bill progressed last session, getting through the House to Senate Finance, its last committee of referral before COVID shortened our session. As some of you may remember, there are many hurdles for business owners to overcome when operating a small mariculture enterprise. House Bill 115 addresses one obstacle. Specifically, it expedites the lease renewal process. In doing so, it lowers investment risks for those startup businesses and reduces the workload on an overstretched state agency, DNR, allowing the regulatory agency to process lease applications of all types more quickly. Due to recent state budget cuts and increase in aquatic farm lease applications, it currently takes DNR 18 months or more to approve an initial or renewal aquatic farm lease. I guess that's 1.5 years or more. House Bill 115 makes aquatic farm lease renewals consistent with other DNR lease renewals, such as those for agricultural grazing, cabins and lodges, docks, and hydroelectric facilities. This streamlined process would allow the director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water to renew a lease for a business in good standing and takes around 90 days. Including mariculture businesses that are in good standing to this list significantly shortens the renewal process while still allowing appropriate regulatory oversight, public engagement, and requests for appeal of any DNR lease renewal decision. And House Bill 115 does not affect salmon hatchery leases. Wanted to make sure that was clear. The idea for this bill began shortly after I took office in 2019. I was contacted by a constituent who was in the process of transferring an aquatic farm lease. She shared her experiences with the lease transfer process and suggested a few possible changes that might help applicants. In meeting and conversations with DNR staff, DNR mentioned the streamlining of the aquatic farm renewal process as a way to reduce uncertainty for applicants and gain agency efficiencies. Last session, when the bill was in Senate Finance, the committee added reporting requirements and a section that explicitly allowed ecotourism and educational functions and prohibited access or transit fees. These were good additions, and I incorporated them into this session's bill. I appreciate your consideration of the House Bill 115. It supports responsible resource development and the state's beginning aquaculture businesses. Chair Tarr, depending upon the wishes of the committee, my staff, Greg Smith, can walk through the sexual analysis. There are invited testifiers online, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Story. And we do have your invited testifiers. So I wonder if Mr. Smith could do a more summarized walk through the bill this time so we could do your invited testimony at least. And it looks like we have a couple testifiers. Would that be okay with committee members? And then we'd be able to come back to that so we have those folks. Great.
Thank you, Chair Tarr, Greg Smith, staff to Representative Story. Quickly, I'll try to move through this. House Bill 115, Section 1, adds an annual report requirement for the director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Section 2 adds, and kind of this is getting into the meat of the bill, adds AS 3805083, which is the Aquatic Farm Leasing Statute, to AS 3805070E, which is the general leasing renewal section of law. And this allows the director to renew an aquatic farm lease under that section. Section 3, which is page 4, line 24, deletes the term renew from 083, the aquatic farm leasing statutes, and this removes the requirement that the renewal procedure for an aquatic farm or hatchery undergoes the more detailed AS 3809945 adjudication process. Section 4 removes the or renewal from AS 3805083, again removing that renewal process from the farm leasing statute. The additions that Representative Story talked about earlier are found in Section 5. There were three new subsections, all in 083, and that allows the one of those is the allowing the commissioner of DNR to renew an aquatic farm lease under the general leasing renewal procedure. It explicitly, another is that it explicitly allows ecotourism and educational purposes as allowable uses. Another is it explicitly prohibits the charging of additional fees for the use or passage across these sites. And then Section 6 adds a new section to uncodified law, which is an initial report about the backlog of pending leases with the department, economic impacts if all these leases were granted, and then recommendations by DNR and other state agencies to streamline the lease approval process.
Thank you so much, Mr. Smith. And so in the interest in time, since we just have about the 15 minutes left, we'll just go right to the invited testimony. And so if you have questions, please hold them. And hopefully some of them will get answered here, too. First up, we have Heather McCarty. She's the chair of the Mariculture Task Force. Ms. McCarty, are you available?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This is Heather McCarty. I'm in Juneau. And I'm representing here the Mariculture Task Force. As you've heard, I'm the chair of the Mariculture Task Force. Just a little bit of background. As Representative Story said, we have a goal for the state of Alaska of $100 million business in mariculture in 20 years. And I'm happy to say that we're well on our way to meeting that goal. When we first got together in 2016, the task force was charged with developing the industry, the very new industry in Alaska, and identifying barriers or hurdles that might need to be changed in both the regulatory, the statutory, economic, education, environmental, and a couple of other categories, which we did. We put together a first strategic plan. And then in 2019, we began to build an implementation plan to address the priorities in all of those areas that we found needed to be addressed. One of those areas was renewal and actual primary permitting issues. We found that there was a large backlog. We had conversations that were very fruitful with the administration and with DNR representatives. And we identified a couple of needs, statutory needs, that would be helpful in helping reduce that backlog, streamline the process, and particularly streamline the renewal process. So we believe that House Bill 115 is a good step in that direction to help implement better rules, better laws, and remove potential barriers to new entrants and current participants in the mariculture industry. We very much appreciate the sponsor of this bill and the co-sponsor and this committee taking it up at this time. I'm happy to answer any questions. We do also support the additions to the bill this year, which allows for ecotourism on sites used for mariculture. We actually have folks who are engaged in those pursuits right now and have need of that being allowed so that they can make ends meet. And it's always good to see more than one business use the same resource and the same site and help grow this industry as well as the tourism industry in Alaska. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have from the point of view of the task force. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. McCarty. We really appreciate your testimony. And Representative Vance does have a question.
Thank you, Ms. McCarty. Would you be able to speak further to the hurdles that the renewal process that requires public testimony, would you talk about why that's such a hurdle and the need to remove that public process on the renewal?
Thank you, Representative Vance. I think the biggest hurdle is the time, and I think you've already heard that because of budgetary constraints and so on, and the increased number of new permit requests and some renewals. Because of that, it's been taking a year and a half just to do a renewal when that whole entire public process that's required for an initial permit has already happened, and the renewal process is more, should be more more simple and more streamlined. And so I don't think there's any intent to remove any of the public process in this. I believe that there are still opportunities under this bill to include the public and public comment in the renewal process. I don't think there's any intent to remove the public part of it.
Any follow-up, Representative Vance?
No, thank you. Sorry.
Okay. Wonderful. Any other questions for Ms. McCarty? Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your work on the task force. This is like good government at its best, where people did the work, they came up with the ideas, they brought it to you, and now we can try and help you and help this industry grow. So it's awesome. Thank you. Next invited testifier is Eric Wyatt from the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association. Mr. Wyatt, are you available?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks to Representative Story for inviting me and putting this forward. And I'm completely new at this process, so I hope I get it right. So, yeah, I'm the newly elected president of the Shellfish Growers Association, and I've been a member of that for a long time. And I'm also have been a member of the task force with Heather there since its beginning. And I can tell you also the association has, you know, as an organization supports this, but these comments down here are just my own. And so just to tell you a little bit more about myself, because this kind of shows some of the, you know, some of the people that are getting into this business, is that I'm a third generation salmon fisherman from Southeast, and I diversified and with my wife as my partner into aquatic farming, you know, 16, 17 years ago. And that's now centered on oyster production, because that was the emerged as the only viable business model, you know, at that time. And, you know, part of the reason, a little bit, that we did it was that it seemed like a trend for the future that was positive, maybe more financially stable, and also, I would say, environmentally positive. Although I still do troll a little bit for Kings, it's hard to give up that habit. But I want to say that our investment, our farm investment, is considerable. And I'm saying, compared to, you know, I have a 42-foot fiberglass fishing boat, some IFQs, other permits, et cetera, I have more invested in this farming. And part of that is because the revenues are higher, honestly. And so, you know, a couple years ago, I did go through the renewal process, which did take a long time. And where I'm located, outside of Prince of Wales, you know, there's not a lot of any other competing conflict use, et cetera. So I wasn't quite as worried about that process. But it is concerning when you have an ongoing business, you know, you're hiring people, you've got considerable investment that, you know, has notes on it, yet whether you can remain in business is up in question for sometimes a long time. I think I was more than 18 months, but that was at that time. So I think my understanding is that the full renewal process, right, is that involves, there's a lot of public notice and time that you have to wait for all kinds of feedback, etc. That's part of the reason it takes longer. And this says in there, you know, that on that first 10-year renewal, if you're in good standing, there's been no complaints, and you're, you know, a good citizen, that it's abbreviated to some extent. And I can tell you that this is an intimidating barrier. It's renewals, but also the transfer permits. Sometimes, even though that 10 years isn't up, they're doing a renewal before reassignment to a new buyer. And that's happening a little bit more and more. I'm seeing a little bit older farms now being bought by more serious business people. Part of my business is I supply seed from a nursery. And things look very good for growth, I feel like. And there's concern about this, you know. not only as they do it, but as other people consider investing. And I do get asked about it pretty frequently. I think the EcoTours part is, to me, it seems obvious. Let's just make it easier. It's a positive thing, and people do want to see, you know, this is a quote-unquote green or greener industry, and people are interested, and we'd like to be able to more easily spread the word and include, you know, making it easier to supplement our income with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Wyatt. That was really informative and really first-person knowledge is so helpful. Any questions for Mr. Wyatt? Okay, well, we thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Wyatt. And we have a few people signed up for the public testimony that we might be able to get through. And so that's what I'm going to try to do here. So I'm going to go ahead and open the public testimony and go to Trevor Sandy of Marble Seafoods first.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Trevor Sandy. I'm a civil engineer and general contractor in Ketchikan. I applied for an oyster lease about 2010, I guess, and I've been tracking these changes to the legislation pretty closely for the last 2 years because they really directly affect me and could be very positive for our business. So Marble Seafoods is our oyster farm in Ketchikan, and we also grow kelp, and the brand name is Hump Island Oyster Company. So the renewal process, as I see it, is really too short. 20 years would be an ideal lease length, but for various reasons, that's probably not possible. But just to give you an idea of the timeline from when I hatched an idea to start a farm, year one was just trying to figure out what the hell we were going to do. Year two was building some infrastructure and starting on a small scale. We didn't really even hit our stride until year seven, and then in the blink of an eye, it's time for a renewal. Over the course of that, you know, we've spent several million dollars in infrastructure. We've applied for three loans through the Alaska Mariculture Revolving Loan Fund, which have 20-year terms and are tied to farm assets. So I believe streamlining the renewal makes a lot of sense from both economics, because one, you're lending me money over 20 years, so it would be silly to get rid of the lease at 10 years if I was a good steward of the state's aquatic resources. And two, I've got lenders that have notes on some of the assets, and they want more surety. I don't think simplifying the public testimony piece of it is really all of that bothersome, because I can tell you from experience, anybody that's worked around our farm, either being a geoduck diver, a puke diver, a trapper, if anybody has any issues, they immediately reach out to ADF&D and voice their displeasure. So the state of Alaska is going to know if the farmers have been good stewards and have worked well with the neighbors, you know, for competing for the same, or I guess compatible users of the same body of water, I guess. So I would really encourage you to approve this, just to simplify that. I happen to be up for renewal, so this is my renewal year. I've done three amendments over the years, and I can tell you that every one of them has taken more than 24 months to get approved from start to end, and it just seems like a tremendous waste of state resources to make the renewal process just as onerous. I started a tour company to try to make ends meet on our farm, and bought a boat and went through all of the permitting requirements to start a small eco tour at our farm, and then was just about ready to start the tours, and then Department of Natural Resources said that was a prohibited activity under the aquatic farming regulations, and turns out I can't even hold like farmer training out there technically without allowing education to occur within the leases. So that because there was no mechanism for tourism, I had to go through a duplicate lease process. So I actually have two leases with the state of Alaska for the same body of water for two different uses, one for aquatic farming and one to bring visitors to the floats to look at the oysters. So,
Mr. Sandy, I apologize because we're running out of time, but your testimony is so helpful. But could you please wrap up?
Yep, I'm wrapping up. The last thing I'll add is, so I did get a tourism lease, but within that lease document was basically a head tax of $5 or $6. And the process, I agreed to the lease, but I really strenuously objected to that. So I hired legal counsel, and we actually challenged that, and were successful in getting that removed. But I would recommend, you know, it's hard enough to be a farmer, and honestly, we've never made much money at it. So the more you can do to help us out would be great, and charging a head fee is just silly.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sandy. And if you have additional thoughts and would want to send those along in written format, that would be great, and we could share those. We do have two testifiers. It is noon. Julie Decker from the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation and Marcos Scheer. Marcos, if you wanted to quickly add any comments, could you please share your public testimony?
Yes. Thank you so much, the committee and the chairperson. I'll try to be very quick about this. My name is Marco Scheer. I run a company called Premium Aquatics, which operates under the brand name Seagrove Kelp Cove. And we built a vertically integrated seaweed farming operation in Ketchikan and off of Prince of Wales. I believe that our farm is the largest contiguous kelp farm in North America. I'm about year six now of trying to get this project off the ground and running. We have other sites that we are looking to do. We are a strong supporter of this bill. One of the primary concerns as I went out into the capital market to try to fund, what I consider to be a kind of a commercial scale operation, one of the primary questions that comes out right at the get-go is, how long is your lease? If we've got a 20-year useful life on a lot of these assets, and you've only got a 10-year lease. So the opportunity to renew these is going to facilitate additional investment. We started operating in 2019, put a couple of $1 million into assets and labor and projects in the region. We employ a number of people in both in Ketchikan and in Craig. This is a really important part of the prospect of building investment in this sector in Alaska.
Thank you. Mr. Scheer, I apologize that I have to cut you off there because we have run out of time. And Ms. Decker, I'll leave public testimony open to start as soon as we bring this bill back up in the next committee. And Mr. Scheer, if you had additional comments and would send those, we would love to share those with committee members. The reminder, we'll have HB 80 back before us with that revised amendment and an amendment deadline for House Bill 115. We will say 9 a.m. Monday. If that works with the bill sponsor, so we can have that back up on Tuesday, please, in our transition here as we're getting organized, let us know if that's too soon. If there's no other business to come before the committee, we will adjourn at 12:02 p.m.